raised, a matter of fact, much of her time in a place called Charlotte, Michigan, which, of course, you have never heard of. And it's a small town of 9,000 people, about 100 miles west of Detroit, which you probably have heard of. And it's an unknown town. And our church is, you've never heard of our church, Calvary Baptist Church, unless Anna's told you about it. But last year at this time, I'm sure you never heard of it. It's a church of, you know, a church where we worship God and serve the Lord. But to you, it was an unknown church. But isn't it wonderful that God uses unknown people in unknown places? And let me be honest with you, I had never heard of Pontypridd until they came here. And so, and I never heard of your church until Kevin and Anna came here. And so, to many of us and people in my church, they have never heard of this church, Bethany Baptist Church. But you know what? God does. He knows this church. You know, the great thing about God is that he's not looking for famous people. He's not looking for the big and the gigantic. You know, we live in a world where everybody wants what's big and gigantic. But you know, when I look at the Bible, I see that God uses the little people, unknown people. Now, just for instance, Jochebed, the mother of Moses, she was a slave. And yet God used her to train her son. That's an amazing truth. Ruth, living in this the heathen land of Moab. And yet God took this Ruth, this unknown woman, and made her the great-grandmother of King David and in the lineage of Jesus Christ. You know, when I look in the New Testament, I see a man by the name of Epaphras. You say, who is that? Well, he was known as a man who prayed. He was a prayer warrior in the Bible. You look at a name, Epaphroditus. I don't think anybody here is named Epaphroditus. But he was known as a servant of God. See, God loves to use people who are not greatly known. And so this morning, what I'd like to do is look at one of those, quote unquote, unknown heroes in the Bible. And his name is Barnabas. Matter of fact, Barnabas, his name really wasn't Barnabas. It was Joseph, whatever they would pronounce it back then. But anyway, his name Barnabas was a nickname. And can you imagine having a nickname like this? The son of encouragement. In other words, Barnabas was a man who encouraged other people. You know, we live in a world where there's a lot of things going on that are discouraging. I mean, no matter where you go, you look around you and where the world is heading towards and how people have turned their backs on God, how they've turned their backs on the Word of God and what it teaches, how they ignore the reality of God, it can get discouraging. Many of you, when you go to work or you go to school, it can be discouraging. Even within your family situation, sometimes you can face discouragement. And there are even people who are other Christians that sometimes seem to take joy in discouraging other people. You know, the word discourage almost has the idea of taking the heart out of a person. And I would hope that those of us here this morning would not want to have a ministry of discouragement. That should not be our goal in life, is to take the heart out of people. But our ministry should be one of encouragement, putting the heart into a person. I'm sure I could ask any of you this morning about an incident when somebody came to you in some way, in some fashion, and they encouraged you. That you were discouraged, you were disheartened. Maybe it was through some little word, maybe it was through some action, maybe it was just to listen. But you were encouraged. I'm so thankful for people that have encouraged me in my life. I'm sure you are. But what I want to focus on this morning is Barnabas and what makes a person an encouraging person. I think everyone in this room, I don't think any of you would say to me this morning, oh, I don't want to encourage people. I want to discourage people. I have so much fun taking the heart out of people. I'm sure every single one of us in this room would want to be like Barnabas. I'm sure you want to be an encourager because people need it. Oh, husbands, your wife needs encouragement. Wives, your husband needs encouragement. Parents, your children need encouragement. Children, your parents need encouragement. The people around you that you work with, they need encouragement. In this church, you need to encourage one another. It's rough out there. If you're going to school, there are students that you go to school with need encouragement. So we're going to look at how Barnabas was a man of encouragement. So the first time we see Barnabas is here in Acts chapter 4. Of course, this is the early church, and we see that he does something that's very, very unique. And notice in verse 36, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation or encouragement, a Levite," notice he was a priest, "and before his salvation, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." And so this was rather interesting that out of all the people, because many people were doing this, but notice Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, particularly chose Barnabas as an example. Now let's go to another passage, Acts chapter 11. And we're going to visit the church at Antioch, where there are believers. There were new believers, and they needed somebody to encourage this new group of believers. And so notice what it says beginning in verse number 21 about the church at Antioch. "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch." This church was a young church. This church needed someone to encourage them in the faith. And so the church at Jerusalem said, "Let's send Barnabas, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." And then notice verse 24. "For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." Why did they send Barnabas? It was because he was an example. Remember back in Acts 4, Barnabas was an example of generosity. Notice here in verse number 24, he is an example of his goodness. Nobody could point a finger at Barnabas and say, "I remember when he did this wicked deed. I remember when he did this gossiping. I remember when he cut a person down with his tongue," which we can easily do. Not Barnabas. He was a generous man. He was a good man. Not only that, it says that he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He had the fruit of the Spirit. And as we know, in Galatians chapter 5, it says this concerning the fruit of the Spirit. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." In other words, this Barnabas encouraged other people by his example. A matter of fact, it even goes on and says he was a great example of faith. You know, I always like to read biographies, and of course one of the most impressive biographies is about George Mueller of Bristol, who was a great example of faith. When I read about missionary biographies such as Hudson Taylor, what adventure of faith. When I read about William Carey, what a man of faith. They're examples to us. Even though they be dead, yet they still speak. And what am I saying to us this morning? Our example is important. See, Barnabas encouraged other people by being a good example. What kind of example are you, parents, to your children? As you know, the little saying, more is caught than taught. The reason why my children speak the English language the way they do is because they heard it from their father and their mother. The reason why your children speak the English language the way they do is because they heard it from you. You didn't teach them how to pronounce things in your way here in Wales. And I didn't teach them, this is how you're supposed to say the. This is how you're supposed to say this. No, they caught it. And if you have no interest in reading the Bible, how do you expect your children to? Or what about our example before each other? If we don't really get excited about the things of the Lord, then how do we expect other people in the church to get excited about the things of the Lord? You know, it gets contagious. You know, disease is contagious. Well, so is encouragement by our example. What kind of an example are we? Would people around us in this church say, there is a good person? There is a person. This person is filled with the Spirit. I see their love. I see their joy. See, it's like fire. When people do what's wrong, it brings other people down. When people do what is right in the Lord, it brings other people up. We encourage people by our example. Don't forget, people are watching you. They're watching everything about you. Believe it or not, people in this church are watching you. They're watching how excited you are about the Lord. They're watching to see what you're teaching your children. Our example is critical. Barnabas was a great example. He encouraged others. But let's look at something else about Barnabas' life and how he encouraged others. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. If you remember, Saul had been a persecutor of the church. He had killed Christians. He had imprisoned Christians. He was feared by Christians, and then, of course, we know the occasion where he was going to Damascus, and on the way to Damascus, of course, he met Jesus Christ. What a beautiful story. Isn't it wonderful to meet Jesus Christ? Isn't it wonderful to be saved? I trust that you're saved this morning. Well, we know the story of Saul. He became Paul. And he desired to join up with the Christians in Jerusalem because this is the mother church. This is the great church at that time. And so notice what it says in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. You know, you can just get the picture here. Here is the killer of Christians coming into the church building. One and coming up and saying, I want to be part of you. You know, we wouldn't want that either. We would be terribly suspicious if some atheist would come and who had been persecuting Christians would come. Well, that's what happened there. And so Saul was leaving. He was dejected. He was rejected because nobody wanted to be his friend. Nobody cared about this man. They didn't want anything to do with him. But I like the first word in verse 27. But there was one person. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the disciples and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Now, just get the picture here. Saul is walking away, dejected, probably hurt, probably wondering why, though Jesus had accepted him, the believers at Jerusalem did not accept him. But I could just see Barnabas seeing all this happening. And he gets out and he runs out and he puts his arm around Saul and says, "Tell me your story." Because see, he knew the story, so Saul must have told him the story. And he listened. Don't you think Saul was encouraged? You know why he was encouraged? Because there was a person who was willing to be his friend. There was a person who was willing to be his friend. See, Barnabas not only encouraged people by his example, but by being a friend. Do you know what? People come into church. Maybe people that have come to this church for years, and they don't have a friend. You know, sometimes we get in our little groups and we kind of get used to each other and we kind of have our little set of friends. There's people in this church, I believe, that are probably lonely, that need a friend. Maybe when they're discouraged. You remember it says this concerning a friend. A friend loveth at all time, and a brother is born for adversity. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. You know, I remember hearing a preacher many, many years ago talk about his father who had a difficulty with alcohol. And he questioned him. He said, why do you go to the bar, or in this case, the pub here? He says, you know what? I go there because I have friends. This should be a place where people are encouraged, because we have the greatest friend. His name is Jesus. And because we have the greatest friend, we need to be sensitive to the needs of others and encourage them with our friendship. I see it even in my church. I'll see people come, and the first service or the first two services, oh, the people will greet them and smile at them and show an interest in them. But then after two or three services, they kind of get bored with them. And they start to sit alone. They come and they go. Why did they come to church? They needed a friend. You know, we look in the Bible concerning David when he was fleeing from King Saul. Don't you think he was grateful for the friendship of Jonathan? This is not an easy world to live in. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. People need to be encouraged with friendship. If you go to work, there are probably lost people that need your friendship. If you go to school, I'm sure there are classmates that need your friendship. Because you can share with them the greatest friend, Jesus Christ. And so Barnabas is a man who encouraged others by his example. He encouraged others with his friendship. But let's go back to Acts chapter 11. Remember, Barnabas was sent to the church at Antioch. Yes, he was a great example. But notice something else he did to encourage this young church. Verse 23. Who, when he came, referring to Barnabas, and had seen the grace of God, and was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Notice that word, exhorted. He encouraged them to cleave unto God. Oh, how often people cause other people to turn away from God with their words. Oh, gossip is a great disease in the church today. Bitter words are a great disease in the church today. But oh, if only people would use their word to encourage others. That's what Barnabas did. He was encouraging this young church. He didn't beat them down. He lifted them up. You know, it's interesting that the tongue is equated as a fire by James. You know, in the winter, I like heat. Fire is a wonderful thing if it's used correctly, isn't it? Fire is great to cook some good food. Fire is great to produce heat. Fire is great to purify. But fire, when it's out of control, brings great destruction. It can burn a whole house. It can burn a whole community. And that's what the tongue is. The tongue can build such encouragement in people, but it can kill and destroy a person's life. Barnabas' tongue was a fire, but it was a fire for good. It was a fire to purify. It was a fire to encourage. Why is it so hard to say words like, I love you? Why is it so difficult to say words, please forgive me, I was wrong? Why is it so difficult to say, I forgive you? Our words can be used with great encouragement. Parents, encourage your children with your words. Don't just discipline them and tell them the negative, but encourage them. Encourage your pastor. Encourage people that are in ministry, in this church, whatever they're doing. They're laboring for the Lord out of love. You know, I think that was so wonderful that you went walking yesterday. Why did you do that? Not for exercise. You did that so that you could walk along with your friend and encourage him. Isn't that a blessing? You know, don't you feel better when you encourage other people? Don't you feel better when your words lift up a person instead of tear them down? We can encourage people with our words. They're great. You know, does it cost anything to say I love you? It doesn't cost any money. Does it cost anything to say you can do it? Does it cost anything to say I'm behind you in this? Does it cost anything to compliment a person for something they've done well? It's all free. It doesn't cost. The government doesn't even tax it. But notice, he encouraged these people with his words. I want to look at one last way that Barnabas encouraged others. Let's go to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. If you remember, Paul and Barnabas made the first missionary journey. But in the midst of that missionary journey, the third person in this missionary team was John Mark. And if you remember, John Mark left. Now, we don't know the reason why, but it must have been a negative reason. It wasn't like he was sick or anything else, because when we get to Acts chapter 15, Paul wants another missionary journey. And he's excited about it. And he says to Barnabas, let's go and let's get this new missionary journey. Let's go back to where we had been. And Barnabas says, let's take John Mark with us. Let's pick up the story from there. Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And then, of course, Paul chose Silas. Now, everybody has a different idea who was right or who was wrong in that account. And usually people side with Paul because they always think Paul was right. But for me, I think the proof is at the end of Paul's life, he says something that's very interesting. In 2 Timothy 4, only Luke is with me. Take Mark, this same John Mark here, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You know what I see in Barnabas here? Here was a loser, John Mark. He was a loser. He was a quitter. He had run away from the mission field. He was a loser. Paul saw him as a loser. You know, we all have people we know in our lives that seem like they're losers, don't we? They just don't seem to ever get their act together. But you know what? Barnabas had something that people lack today, and it's a compassion on those who fail. I don't think anybody in this church this morning is perfect. I have failed. You have failed. And you know, one of the struggles I have sometimes is, as a pastor, when I fail to do something exactly the way somebody wants, their idea is, well, I'll just leave the church because you didn't do exactly what I wanted. You know, failure, even if I didn't fail, it's a lack of acceptance of a person. But here was John Mark, a failure, needing somebody to pick him up. I mean, what would have happened to John Mark if there was not a Barnabas? We would not have the Gospel of Mark. He was the author of the Gospel of Mark, the same one who was put on the waste heap. He was rubbish. But there was a person called Barnabas who had compassion on this man. And he said, let's try it again. I'm with you on this. Let's go. Let's go to Cyprus. Let's start a ministry there. Maybe there's somebody in your life that's a loser. Maybe you have put him aside in the rubbish. Maybe you've said, I don't want anything to do with them again. Maybe something's happened to them and you said, they got what they deserve. Maybe now that they got what they deserved, maybe they need something that they don't deserve. And it's called compassion. People need to be encouraged with compassion. We are all losers in some sense of the word. Didn't Jesus say that to a bunch of losers? All those people that put him on the cross. Did he not say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Did not Stephen, with all those that threw the stones against him to kill him, did he not echo the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Oh, we live in a world where people are only concerned about themselves. We live in a world where people look after number one. But that's not the Christian's world. The Christian's world is a world of love and compassion. What kind of person are we this morning? Are we a discourager? Do we discourage people by our example? Do we discourage people by being insensitive to them and not befriending them? Do we discourage people with our words? Do we discourage people by turning our backs on them in their time of need? Or are we encouragers? Do we encourage people by our example? Do we encourage people by our friendship? Do we encourage people by our words? And do we encourage people with our compassion, giving them another chance? Aren't you glad Jesus has compassion on us? How many chances has he given to you and to me? And yet he keeps forgiving us. So I would hope that each of us would desire to have a great ministry of encouragement. I'm thankful for the people in my life that have encouraged me. But the question is, am I encouraging others? The question for each of us, am I an encourager like Barnabas, or am I a discourager? What kind of person am I? Let's put the heart into people, okay? There's a lot of things out here that take the heart out of people. I mean, out here in the world. Let's put the heart into people. People that you work with, your family, people in this church. Let's be encouragers. And God will bless you because that's what Jesus does. When our hearts are broken, where do we go? We go to Jesus for encouragement. He wants us to be the same, following his example. Let's pray. Our dear Father, we know that Barnabas, like many others in the Bible, are not really well-known people of the faith. And I know that this group of people with whom I'm speaking, your children here today, that we are not famous. We're not going to be in any newspaper article. We're not going to be on the television. We're not known around the world, but we're known by you. And we know people around us. And there's people around us that are discouraged. Maybe in this church, or maybe at work, or at home, in our neighborhood, at school. But we know people are discouraged. Help us to encourage them. Help us to be a good example of what a Christian is. Help us to be looking out for the lonely and befriending people, letting them know we care. Help us to use our words to build up, not to tear down. And help us to have a heart of compassion, especially upon those who have failed, especially upon those who need compassion, a second chance. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the pastor. Thank you for all those who minister. I just really enjoyed seeing the many adults working with the children on Friday. Thank you for their love for the children. Encourage them. Use them. May they be an encouragement to those children because they have a whole life ahead of them. How exciting it'll be to see what you do in their lives. So continue to work in this church and work through this church. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.
Who used to have a guy there who was nicknamed Dark Cloud. That was his nickname. Barnabas, for all intents and purposes, had a nickname, the Son of Consolation. This guy's nickname was Dark Cloud. Every time he would come up to talk to you, you understood why he was called Dark Cloud. He was the type of person who would walk into a room and you'd go, oh no. Anything that he could find fault in, he did find fault in. Anything that he could discourage you about, he would discourage you. And I suppose my question is this, if our names were to change, if Barnabas's name was changed to Son of Consolation, if he was changed to Son of Encouragement, what would our names change to in terms of our personality and who we are? This guy's name was Dark Cloud because I just basically summed him up. Are we an encourager or a discourager? People see us coming and think, oh great, I'm going to get a word of comfort, I'm going to get a word of encouragement, I can guarantee that person will text me tomorrow, I can guarantee that, you know, if something is done, that And I understand you don't do things for a pat on the back, but sometimes it goes a long way for somebody to just send a text out of the blue and say, I'm praying for you. Just want to encourage you. I've got this verse that's been laid on my heart and I want to give it to you. So when people see you come in, do they think, oh no? Or do they think, oh, praise the Lord, I'm going to be uplifted by you now? See, one of the functions of the church is to exhort one another, to lift one another up. You know, it's tough enough as it is in the world in which we live. It's a discouraging world to live in. I understand that the Christian ought not to be discouraged because how we look for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that. But the world is still a discouraging place to live in. The church ought not to be a discouraging place to come to. We ought to be able to encourage one another. And I can promise you some of the most discouraging things that have been said to me have been said by Christians. Some of the most discouraging things that have been done to me have been done by other pastors. Well, it ought not to take place in the church. You ought to encourage one another. I don't know if you realize, if you've read the end of the book, if you've read through it, we're on the winning side. It's quite an exciting thing to be a Christian. I understand, as we say, we'll have tribulation in the world. But if God were to change your name today, what would it be changed to? Dark Cloud or Barnabas? This is what I wanted to do this week. I want you, obviously pray about it, but I would like you to text somebody you've never maybe texted before and just give them a word of encouragement. Even if you share the verse that the Lord gave you in your daily devotions, just encourage somebody this week. And as Pastor said earlier, see how contagious it is. It was exciting yesterday to see the encouragement we were to Terry. And it kind of makes you want to do more of that, to encourage people. Who do you need to encourage this week? To take a step of faith and see the Lord work. Amen. Appreciate the message. Appreciate the message.